me, there's nothing funnier than beating up on a puppet.
Press 3 if you're completely terrified.
You made it, Scott. Hey, Cormac. Hey, Mike. Hey,
Cormac, what's up? Fredericks.
I see Brian.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, look at this. It's like proper room.
Hating yourself, Fredericks.
Whoa, nice new icon there, Fredericks.
Yeah, it's terrifying.
So I was telling Mike about your Grateful Dead background, Scott, just a little bit ago.
Oh, right on.
Yeah, he was impressed. Not really. But I didn't even mention the mezuzah, but I did mention the West Bank. And he said he had a very interesting observation. Didn't you, Mike? He must be laying down again. Come on, Mike.
I'm here. I'm here.
There he is. Get up.
I got my iced tea.
Anyway, so I was telling Scott about your observation about dead followers.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't exactly reveal what it was. I was saving that so you could do the presentation.
I was just telling Fredericks that, in the Northeast anyway, I don't know, I mean, it could be just geographic, but they had a very strong Jewish fan base.
Oh.
I mean, I met lots of guys through this dead website, and I'd say like half the guys are Jewish, you know, it's strong following. And I think there's even been a book written about that.
Really? I have to find that. Grateful Dead.
I used to have a Jews for Jerry pin. It was a thing, I guess. I'm not Jewish, but, you know, what the hell?
Yeah. Oh, Mickey Hart was Jewish.
And didn't you give your aunt a tie-dyed mezuzah?
Yeah, my girlfriend made it. She works at a pottery place of the Upper West Side.
I thought that was really cool. And I thought it tied in perfectly to what Mike was talking about.
Yeah, I have to find that book now, because that explains a lot of shit I saw in Hebrew school.
Have you found the actual title of the book?
No, I have. I got to find it. Oh, man. I had a rabbi that played, Sugar Magnolia once.
Yeah.
That makes sense now. That's all coming back to me. I was forced to go to Hebrew school until 10th grade, in which I said, no, thank you. But that makes sense. I also went to, like, the most reform school possible. That wasn't reform school.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, no, my aunt went to, like, Brooklyn Law School, and then, like, followed the dead around, and now she's crazy. So
she may be in danger. I mean, things are getting pretty volatile over there.
I found out that, okay, so she hasn't been in the West Bank for a bit. She's in either Tel Aviv or Jerusalem now, I don't remember. But she was there for, like, a good decade or so.
I think it's a dangerous time over there, boy.
I mean, I'm not going to Israel ever. I've missed the cutoff on the free birthright trip, and everyone, you know, some friends of mine who were, like, Jewish but only in, like, culture only, they're like, you should go over there. I'm like, why? It's not really enticing. So.
What? Desert where you get shot at sounds like fun, you know.
Yeah.
Intermittent rocket attacks, you know. We only have fireworks once or twice a year here. You get all the time there.
Well,
although it should be noted, Cormod does not like fireworks.
there's a kid right now, that Muslim kid that got all beat up. He was from Tampa.
Yeah.
American citizen. They got.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What happened?
They snatched him out of his backyard, the police. And people actually have videos of him after he was handcuffed. And they're trying to get him back in the United States so he can get care. But right now, the family's being charged by the Israeli, fined by the Israeli authorities. His brother got kidnapped and, cousin got kidnapped and burned to death a couple days before that.
Yeah, I'm not in any rush to go over there.
No, especially not the settlements.
Yeah, I don't really care for the how things are handled by both sides, and I'm sort of. You know, sort of, I have a lot of family that's kind of mad at me for not taking a certain side, I suppose. So.
Right, but to you, it's like, I don't have enough information, and they just both seem really violent.
I mean, I read Al Jazeera, and I read The Guardian, and I read a lot of, like, wire sources and stuff coming out of there, and it just seems like, you know, one side does one, or the Palestinians or Hamas does one thing, and Israel seems to just take it to the next level, and
there seems to be, I think the thinking now is that every action deserves a reaction.
I mean, that's the way it's always been.
Yeah, that's right, you're right, but when it heats up, it just keeps going, you know?
Right, what did Gandhi say? When you do the eye for an eye, eventually everybody ends up blind.
And I think the IDF is bullshit, but especially a lot of, have you ever gone on, they have a social media profile in English on Facebook and Instagram for the Israeli Defense Force, and it's pretty goofy. Like, they have like two graphic artists dedicated to like writing stuff like, look at what they did, Israel stands strong. And I'm like,
Yeah.
Sounds very Soviet era.
Yeah, it's pretty goofy. Like
social realism, you know?
Well, and I did hear that is the justification the Palestinians use for killing civilians, is that everybody in the society is a soldier or a potential soldier or a former soldier. I think every citizen has to serve.
Every citizen does have to serve, but that's kind of a bullshit justification.
Oh, I agree too. It's just, it's the...
Nobody's right in the situation there.
No, that's what's so sad.
It's really sad. I have... after my aunt moved out there with my uncle, she had, I think, seven or eight kids, so I have like seven or eight cousins over there, and like four of them are 19 or 18 or whatever, like between 17 and 19, and they're married, and they don't work, they just study or whatever.
Wow.
They're first cousins too, yeah.
Well, that sounds maybe you should head over there, that sounds pretty cushy.
But hey, you're studying the Torah or something, right?
Yeah, they're just studying the Torah, but because of new legislation, they all have to serve eventually in the military, which is something new. Like if you're religious, you could opt out because of studies. So.
Oh, so that's not working anymore. That was sort of like the conscientious objector sort of.
Yeah, that's not a thing anymore there.
Did the Grateful Dead ever play in Israel?
I think they may have. Yeah.
They played pyramids.
Yeah, they played Egypt. That's a good question. I don't know. I can't say right off the bat that they did play there. I would have thought it was a no-brainer that they would have played there, but I don't know. Maybe in the later years.
The Brett Midland.
Mickey Hart played in Jerusalem.
He's Jewish.
Okay, yeah, Fredericks was asking me before, and I didn't know that Mickey Hart was Jewish.
It was the only Jewish, apparently.
I read.
Yeah, I don't see anything about the Grateful Dead playing there.
No.
No, it probably would have been kind of tough to get them in there. Especially if it was after they'd already played in Egypt, you know. It might have been some hard feelings.
Here's a guy I read a couple of books about the Middle East, and one in particular I remember was Arab and Jew by David Shipler. I recommend it. It's a really good book, but it's depressing as hell. I mean, at the end of that book, I just felt like, you know, that region is never going to see peace in my lifetime anyway.
Mm.
It just seemed like so entrenched and so ongoing that, yeah, I mean, it was pretty depressing. But it's a good book. I read that book, and I read From Beirut to Jerusalem. That's Thomas Friedman wrote that one. That was a good book, too.
No, no, I got weird feelings from Friedman.
He seems so centrist.
Well, yeah, now, yeah, this was, like, I think what put him on the map, that book. I mean, I think that book came out, like, in the early 90s, late 80s or something.
Oh, okay. So
I mean, we're going back a ways with him, you know?
Gotcha.
Yeah, he wasn't, like, the big phenomenon that he is now. I think that book put him on the map. I mean, it was a bestseller and everything. It's a good book, though. It's worth reading.
All right, Frederick, are you going to explain your avatar?
No.
Nearly that navel was named Frederick.
That's not true. You wanted to distort yours. You can do it right now, Cormod.
No, I'm just going to stick with my own.
Fine. Whatever, you know, you're feeling conservative, that's fine. You do what makes you feel comfortable. We're not going to force you to do anything here. You don't have to join the military. You don't have to follow the Grateful Dead. You don't have to do any of that. Hey, so I heard somebody say that the two original art forms that are purely American are stand-up comedy and jazz.
What's up, bluegrass?
Yeah, what about the blues? Does that count?
No, blues, basically, you'd have to say came from Africa, and no, bluegrass, the British Isles. Entire reason for being up there. And interestingly enough, after I heard that comment, today I heard about a guy called Artemis Ward.
You'd be able to, like, if you're connecting dots that aren't there.
And the guy described him as the first stand-up comedian, Artemis Ward. And he was a contemporary of Mark Twain.
Everyone knows the first stand-up comedian was Jerry Seinfeld.
Yeah. Hey, Mike, I just saw someone advertise, plug their rock and roll show happening at Masses on your page.
Yeah.
Who was that?
Jimmy Christie. Although Jimmy Christie on Facebook isn't really Jimmy Christie. He's got a handler. Well, actually, I think they're married now, his wife.
The manager.
She runs his promotions on, he's not even online. He doesn't go online. It's a weird thing.
That looks like some good time rock and roll.
Well, he's actually a very good musician. I mean, he's a great guitarist and,
you said you know, a decent singer, too.
Actually, he's a better singer. I think he's better than Ziggy. He's a better singer than Ziggy, you know? But I see him at these things. I say hello to him, but he's not very, you know. I never really had a conversation with the guy. You know, he's a little bit remote when he shows up at these things.
Hey, Corey, would you do me a favor?
Yeah, whatever you need.
Would you change the name of this current call?
Hi. Oops.
Well, what about Artemis Ward?
I found it, and then hang on. Okay, is that the drummer for Lynyrd Skynyrd?
That was Artemis Pyle. I saw his band.
I think I got him mixed up, too.
I saw him. He was dressed like a nun when I saw him, and he did a striptease.
Didn't he have
striptease
problems?
Yes, as he stripped out of his nun outfit.
Yikes.
He had what kind of problem, Mike?
Didn't he have, like, a child molesting thing going on?
I don't know. He was one weird dude, I'll tell you that. That was an odd show. I was expecting Skinner influence stuff, and that's not what I got.
You got a child molester in a nun.
That's some Gary Glitter shit.
Yeah, it's a lateral move.
I think you remember some weirdness with that guy.
Wait, he got shot when he was walking away from that plane crash?
No! Did he really?
Because here, on the Wikipedia page.
Oh, well, then we know it's gotta true.
Be
true.
It gotta be true, right? It's, well, I mean, it's by his own account, it says that he called into the Nick and Artie show. Let me see what that's out of.
Oh, my God.
The Nick and Artie show being a sports thing on, I guess, or Artie Lang, okay.
Go Steelers.
Oh, I did hear him recently.
This was in September of 2012, and he recounted Leonard Skinner's fateful plane crash, which took place on October 20th, 1977. He gave bone-chilling details about being shot by a farmer as he walked for help after the crash. In his words, he was covered in blood and looked like Charles Manson.
Well, he had long hair, and the farmer apparently was anti-hippie, so...
Oh, okay, yeah. He was shot by an air rifle, though. It wasn't like a... But still, I mean, that's got to be...
I've been shot by an air rifle. Come on.
After he walked out of a plane crash?
But you knew about that story, Mike?
I heard about that story, but I actually heard somebody say that, you know, they didn't have it quite right. That they said that one of the members that, you know, survived the crash was killed by a farmer who shot him, which would have been completely insane, but I'm actually sort of glad to hear that he didn't die.
It's too bad for the children.
Well, hang on, let me see.
Think of the children, Mike.
Artemis Pyle has become so much more interesting, this Artemis Ward dude. Hang on, let me see. Child? Ooh, charges. Word charges comes up, as does the word conviction. Let's see what the nature of the charges are. Registered sex offender. There you go. This is a very unfortunate.
Is this like Mike Lisk? Not you, Mike, the other one.
Yeah, my doppelganger.
Yeah.
Okay.
It says that, okay, former Leonard Skinner drummer is a registered sex offender in North Carolina and Florida. In 1993, he was arrested and charged in Jacksonville Beach, Florida, with a sexual battery against both his daughters, age 4 and 8. He was facing a potential life sentence, so he arranged a plea bargain with prosecutors to spare the children a trial. He received 8 years of probation, was entered into the Florida Department of Law Enforcement's sexual offender database. And then whoever wrote this starts giving their opinion, and there's a mugshot of them here. So.
Wait, isn't Pete Townsend also registered in Florida as a sex offender?
I thought that happened in England. He claimed he was researching his book, and that's why all that child pornography was on his computer.
That's what he said.
Or maybe they picketed like a show.
Man, I started out on Artemis Ward, and look where we've ended up. In Florida with child molestation charges.
That's where they all live, you know.
Did it come up on the best show that, like, after that Entwistle died, like, during that tour that they couldn't cancel because it was pretty much already started when he died? Wasn't Pete Townsend like shit talk, or Daltrey or Townsend shit talking Entwistle from the stage? Or is that something that has only happened in my head?
No, there was something about, you know, he's probably off somewhere doing lines or something like that, you know.
Okay. So that did happen? Life.
Well, I remember Tom talking about
it. Oh, he did talk.
I didn't look it up or anything, but, you know, I wouldn't put it past them, so I just assumed it was true.
Yeah.
They have no shame.
It was said with love.
None.
Who, the Who have no shame?
None. None at all.
Yeah, yeah, that seems like a fair assessment to me.
They're bereft of shame.
Yeah, didn't they, the bassist died, and then they continued, they, like, canceled one tour date, and then just continued on with the replacement.
Well, because you could pretty much put an ad on Craigslist. Like, for a guy who knows how to play every Ant Whistle song in every city, and get
they got Joe Palladino, one of the best bass players ever.
Oh, Jaco,
is he really?
They got Pino Palladino, who I'll tell you who he plays for.
Hey, I know that name.
He played for Gary Numan, and then he played for the Roots and D'Angelo and Erykah Badu. And now he plays for the Who. That's weird.
Townsend said he got to be a better guitar player after Ant Whistle died. because there was more room for him to play. If you listen, Ant Whistle took up a lot of the songs with his. He had a lot of fascinating melodic lines.
Yeah.
I watched the Quadrophenia DVD.
Yeah.
The tour they did in 2012. They didn't have one camera shot of Pino Palladino, and I was wondering why that is. I have no idea. I never see a shot of Pino Palladino just playing the bass. You know?
Yeah. Well,
comes up.
They did that out of respect. Hey, so now that Ant Whistle isn't cluttering up the songs, can Townsend actually play a fucking guitar solo? Like, is that possible now? Can he do that? Has he mastered that trick after 50 fucking years? Sorry.
That's the line. Yeah, he went F-bomb.
There we go. Kicking it off.
Two in one sentence.
Yeah.
Forgot to note
it. Clearly, I haven't asked. You know.
Who'd you get to know, Mike?
Who'd I get to know?
I thought that's what you said. I thought you got cut off in mid-sentence.
No, I was just noting that, Stan got the first F-bomb in again.
Oh, well, you accused PC Mike of doing that before, so.
That's right. Apparently I have a more foul mouth than I thought I did.
Nah, it's my week.
I think it was your week, the week that Mike accused me of being the one to.
so accustomed to hearing it from me that it just doesn't seem like a thing.
Well,
you hear it a lot in your line of work?
When he gets bit by fish and snakes and stuff.
I mean, I hear it a lot in my line of work.
I figured you were accustomed to hearing it from me because that's, you know, generally a big part of my vocabulary. Yeah.
So how is the Iron Man shifts at the masses?
Oh. No, I mean, that was just a one-weekend deal. I don't have to do that, you know. I'm back to my regular two shifts on the weekend.
Yeah, you'll have to listen to last week's when I get done with it. I saved a large part of it, but Mike made it. Had a band, had a guy that he had to almost carry out to the street, had some Mexicans trying to get beer at 4 o'clock in the morning.
I heard the Mexicans were back this weekend.
I didn't know.
I think that's like their regular thing.
Why wouldn't they come when the bar is still
open? I don't know. They're elsewhere, you know, and maybe they're on... You know what it is? In Bayonne, it's like, you know, the bar that's, like, closest to your home is where you make your last stab. So you've been out drinking several other places, and then you crawl home, and, you know, masses is, like, the last stop on the way, and you get a lot of people coming in with a foreign load.
I have to come out there sometime. It sounds interesting.
Yeah, well, yeah, I think you'd be underwhelmed and possibly offended. You know, I mean, I've talked about it before. Although sometimes, last week, I was actually laughing. I mean, you know, the talk was so profane and racist. But you know, there were every person, there were customers of there were some Puerto Rican guys, there was a black guy, so they were all going at it, you know, just going after each other. But it was, you know, it sort of reached like sort of a crescendo where it was actually kind of funny, the way they were just jumping on each other, you know. But okay. Yeah, I think a lot of people would be offended at some of the conversation that goes on in there. Particularly when there's no women present. I think if you know, there's a rare woman customer, things get toned down a little bit. Not always. It depends on the woman.
Did you do a movie, Mike?
A movie of what?
For this Sunday.
For this Sunday?
Well, last Sunday.
Movie thing.
Mike's movie at Masses.
Oh, yeah, yeah, actually.
Jeez, I thought this was our...
Wow.
Yeah, I forgot what you were talking about.
It was a weekly thing for about 20 weeks in a row.
No, I'm still doing it, but I disappointed them this week. I went with...
DocuSucker?
I'm sure you'd disappoint.
Yeah, I went with DocuSucker. And I didn't realize... I mean, I hadn't seen the movie in a while. And I kind of just, when they re-released all those Sergio Leone movies on DVD with all the extra features and stuff, I just sort of bought them, you know? And I haven't even really watched them all with all the extra stuff. And what I didn't realize was that the version they have on the disc, it's like an unreleased version that never played in the U.S. And it's like 160 minutes long.
No,
so it was very long, but you know, some of the guys were curious. They were watching it. There was just one guy sort of heckling it, you know. He's promising to bring in Blazing Saddles next week, which is, to me, that's just kind of like an obvious choice, you know.
Is Death Wish an obvious choice, or
what's that?
Death Wish. Would that be an obvious choice?
Actually, yeah, I didn't even think about that. I mean. You know, I'm trying to play a little more, you know, I'm not just trying to pander to the crowd.
Mike's trying to refine their taste.
No, I'm not doing that at all. I'm trying to, like, you know, a combination of good and something that, you know, they would like, you know?
Yeah. You're trying to get smaller tips is what you're doing.
Sunday's still my big day. I mean, I make more money on Sunday than I do on Saturday. And it's all in the morning. That's where I make all the money is Sunday morning.
If you put on Death Wish 3,
that's the movie.
Jackpot.
They seem to, you know, be cool with the movie of the week, you know. They know what time I put it on and
leave at that time.
No, they you know, they hang out, you know. Like I said, I mean, between 9 and 12, I've got a full bar in there.
See, this is working out. You got to work at this. You got to build the audience.
Yeah, I think I've got some obvious choices. I mean, I listen to what they talk about, you know. Unfortunately, like, they have, like, favorites that are a little off the beaten track, and one of them I've never seen. Maybe you guys have seen. I think it's called Let It Ride. Let It Ride. Anybody seen that movie?
No, I haven't seen that.
It's it's set at a horse track. I think what's his name? Jeff Goldblum. But I've never seen it. But, you know, that's like one of their all-time hits. I think I mentioned before the Russians are coming and used to get a lot of play at their previous bar that they used to go to.
Okay.
I don't think I've ever seen it all the way through. Is it good?
It's goofy, you know.
Yeah.
How often do you have to 86 someone that masses?
Well, you know, that's the difference about working at night, because you sort of have to do that on a regular basis. And like I said, I sort of had to do it last week. This guy, when he came in with his dog,
yeah.
I thought he was just going to stay for a little bit with the dog, but he ended up putting the dog right in the path of where I have to walk. And then I told him he had to leave, you know.
And then he came back with a foreign load.
Well, no, he came back after having smoked up.
That doesn't count as a foreign load?
Well, yeah, it's different.
Okay, different kind of load.
It's mostly at a grown in Canada, so, you know.
I mean, his eyes are fairly open.
Holy crap. Stormy, huh? Yeah.
Stan, you rinsing your strawberry again?
No.
I have the air conditioners in, and it sounded like something hit the side of the house, and it's wind, and really a lot of it.
Wow.
Damn.
I wonder if anybody's ever actually been killed alive on a podcast before. This could be the thing that puts us through the roof. How you doing, Stan?
Oh, wait. I see things scattered all over the parking lot that shouldn't be. Well, this could be goodbye.
Go stand outside with your phone and give us a report. We're treating really hard out here.
It's not windy at all over here.
Hey, speaking of
this fucking...
I thought it would be a little bit more dramatic when Stan got sucked up in that tunnel with wind.
Well, he might not be dead, but he's going to wish he
was. Poor guy. He was on Skype.
No, my mic got turned off. Sorry.
Oh.
You're alive.
Fredericks is this.
Oh, wait. No, wait. That's great. Oh, I got confused. Sorry, Stan. Just for a moment there.
I've got a topic I'd like to introduce. You're missing it. See, you miss things on Facebook, Frederick.
All right.
Tom had a very interesting thread he started the other day.
Okay.
He found an old clip of Tom Waits really hamming it up on an Australian television show from like 35 years ago. And Chris T, do you listen to Chris T much?
Yeah.
He took great offense at Tom's insinuation that,
you know, that if you're a fan of...
I did listen to a little bit of Chris T, and I think he played Tom Waits today.
Okay, well, he sort of made I don't know, he went crazy.
Wow, that actually struck me as funny. Hey, Frederick, you in or out of the tent?
I'm right here.
All right, I got something for you now.
The medium is the messages, the messages, the messages, the messages, the messages.
Somebody. You want to echo footage last week?
All right, let me turn it down.
Yeah, that was how you fixed it last time. Although I did have fun with those echoes.
Oh, good.
I'm glad
it.
Yeah. I gotta learn how to do that.
There you go.
I was speaking to Tom earlier. It looks like things are progressing.
Oh, good.
Cool.
He's scouting out a location, possibly in Hudson County, which I was glad to hear. So it'll be close near me anyway.
I don't know. Asking on Twitter, is that really scouting? Sorry.
Oh, no. That's something else that's going on.
Okay.
And that's gonna. I think a lot of people are gonna like what happens there. You know.
Ooh.
There's something big in the works.
All right.
Is there anything like any idea? Is it gonna happen this year or?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like things are progressing. Kind of things have picked up recently.
Well, Scott hasn't been keeping up. I don't necessarily know. You know what happened, right, Scott?
And I heard he got burglarized.
Yeah, he had a studio, he had a house, and he had a studio pretty much set up. And then somebody came in and took all his shit. So now he doesn't trust the house anymore either.
Yeah, so he's been looking for a new location, and he's got somebody actually sort of working for him that, has put together studios. And so it sounds like things are progressing.
Maybe he can do a podcast with Anthony Cumia.
Yeah. I wonder when we were going to get to that.
That's probably not.
Opie. Now, is he going to have to go back to being on television?
We weren't all happy days.
Oh, I do have an update. Remember, the guy was on the hunt for a dog owner who wasn't picking up the dog shit in front of my building?
Yes, oh, yeah. And he set up his cameras and everything.
The camera trained
him. And you were also trying to see who was peeing in your recyclables.
Well, no, that I never discovered.
Well, you thought maybe the cameras would help reveal the culprit.
Yeah. But I did have an update regarding the guy who was, letting his dog shit in front of the building. And he tracked them down. He ran into them on the street.
You can get DNA from dog poop. Sorry.
Man, I'm sure you have.
It wasn't necessary. It wasn't necessary. And he,
and then what do you do with the DNA? All right, I'm sorry, Michael.
He confronted the guy, and, you know, this guy's, like, sort of well-built guy. He's got big arms with tattoos and stuff. And I think he set the guy straight. The guy was very contrite and kind of apologetic about the whole situation. And it looks like we're going to have no more dog crap in front of, or at least he's going to pick it up.
We lost Mike.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we did.
I did that earlier today, too, when I was talking to him. And then I
love how you talk about Mike, like, as soon as he's gone.
Yeah. Really? Oh, it was really... Oh, we did lose him. Oh, rest in peace, Michael. He'll call back.
I had a best show question for him, too. I hope he... It's not a very exciting one.
What I want to hear is how... Wally Wackyman got kicked off of the fill-in show. Because I remember
it was... Your man and Wackyman or something?
Yeah, there were like three shows, and then he was removed, and it became the Hatch Patch. And Wally Wackyman was pretty upset about that.
And what did you hear when Wally's brother was on Marin?
No!
That kind of came up. There was something that was a little bit unnerving on there. It was like, said that his brother, I mean, I got, you know, obviously his brother's talking about it, Mark Maron, it's not a secret, but his brother was saying that, like, what's the guy's name who controls the puppet? He's been on.
Zach?
Zach, yeah, thank you.
Yeah, Zach,
Zach was apparently traumatized by a skit on Sesame Street.
Like, I bet it involved Oscar the Grouch.
It's in the most recent 50 of the Marins. You can listen to it if you're interested. They talked about it for a few minutes, but
he said that he was
kind of damaged by a puppet, and it kind of, I guess, working with the puppet helped him come back or something. Very strange concept to me.
That's,
and I remember the skit. I mean, it must be the same age as those guys. I remember the skit so well. It had to do with,
I think he posted something about that. It was like a Halloween. No, not the
King Tut themed, right?
Yeah, yeah.
What?
There it is. Yeah.
And I made fun of him, and he got upset. But
wait a second. Which one is it? Tuckabee?
It's in the. Dougal put up in the chat there. It's like, it was like.
You already knew about this, Dougal? I don't think he's talking right now.
Well, he did.
Sorry, yeah, I heard about it on Marin.
Oh, this is a scary one, isn't it?
No, it's just one of those, like, when the guy turned, like, Mr. Ed type things. Like, when the guy turned his back,
yeah,
they would talk to him. Yeah. I mean, maybe it's a little scary.
I'm still a little shaken up by it.
Yeah. Yeah, you were, what, like 30 when you started?
Yeah. Fine.
Tony wants to come in. Hello, Tony.
Hi there.
How you holding up?
Fair.
Good. We were talking about a lot of different things tonight. You on Facebook?
No.
Good. They're just trying to manipulate you. How about, are you a fan of the Muppets?
No.
Wally Wackerman.
What have I walked into?
Tail end of a complicated conversation. I'm expecting a good deal of therapy as well.
I might be alone in this, but I just didn't think he was funny.
Who?
Wally Wackyman.
Yeah, and he won't come on here. We'll let Wally talk.
Yeah, because
I'm unlicensed or whatever.
Unsanctioned podcast, right?
Outlaw podcaster. Yeah.
having him on here.
What's that parody account, Trolley Wackerman? Oh, it's just the same avatar, but with a trolley posted over his head. Oh, that's wonderful.
That's me, actually. Yeah. I started it because there was an episode where Zach called in and he was talking about having Wally in a bag and suggesting he was dead. And it was appalling. Like, I thought, how can you kill him off? It's like, so I created Zombie Wacky Man. And all he did as a character on it, and all he did was talk about brains. He just tweeted people and asked if to eat their brains. And then he went through, like, three other things. There was Zombie Wacky Man. There was a French one. Wale Wacky Man. And then broccoli Wackerman, who is genetically engineered broccoli, who would ask people to eat him all the time and talk about how healthy he was. And then he just turned to Trolley Wackerman. And he mostly just says, he'll just say something weird and then say clang. And that's right. What it
is. So you created a series of accounts then.
Well, no, I just change names. I'd get bored of one, and I'd change it up to something else.
Man. Yeah, and then...
I thought I was completely losing my mind when I was doing it.
Oh, no, that was funny.
Man, with the sock puppets and Trolley Wackerman. There's something going on here, Dougal.
To me, there's nothing funnier than beating up on a puppet.
At some point, there was some time I bonded with Hodgman or something, or Hodgman agreed to follow a whole bunch of people, and we were basically all beating up on Wally on Twitter, which is, like, to me, there's nothing funnier than beating up on a puppet, right? It's like, that is a classic, hilarious thing to do. It's like Punch and Judy, except that Zach really was mad about it. So it was kind of like, but that was the thing about, I guess, Sharpling said about him not knowing where the puppet ended, the man ended, and the puppet began.
Right.
But I thought he was a funny character. And one of the things that made me laugh early on when I was listening, was talking about Wally becoming maybe a phone operator or somebody who left messages or recorded messages for phones, like the pre-recorded messages is like, press 3 if you're completely terrified.
Oh, God. But Dougal, you're the guy that was putting sock puppets on the barbecue.
No, I wasn't doing that.
Oh, you were just taking pictures of it.
I was just trying to keep my head down, fit in at work, and my own manager put up a thing of the sock puppet outside my office, uh-huh. And then I was accused by a coworker of creating a collage. That was a nut house to work at.
Press 3 if you're completely terrified.
But I mean, if your puppet doesn't make it on Sesame Street, what other outlets are there? I mean,
I thought Paul Tompkins has a show where on some channel that nobody gets where he's hanging out with puppets, isn't he?
I don't know, but then after that, it wasn't long after that that Tom brought, first it was Vance and then Garrett the Squirrel, right?
That kind of
offered to take over Wally.
He wouldn't trust him.
After the Feltdown.
Yes.
I will take, give me Wally for 1 month. He was going to rehabilitate him.
Yeah, and give him back.
And give him back, but he wouldn't do it. So instead, I really liked Vance, actually.
Yeah, I did too.
Except that for him to really work, he'd have to have his own, like, 4-hour podcast.
Yeah.
Where he just rambles. And one where he reviews the Muppets Most Wanted.
Shut it down. Wasn't he after that guy, Elmo, was kind of the guy who worked Elmo? He was, like, this is very recent. Like, he was, it might have been in the run-up to the end of the show. And Wally was on, and Tom was asking him about it, about that Kevin Clash dude who worked the puppeteer named Elmo, and the guy was, like, kind of defending the guy. It seemed like he was pretty much, you know.
No, he ended up in Artemis Pyle territory.
He was in Artemis Pyle territory, definitely, yeah.
Well, then he would have fit in pretty well at Sesame Street then. You know, and pedophiles. You know, he belongs on children's television. He should work with that guy on Nickelodeon, the Dan Schneider guy.
There's always really creepy rumors surrounding.
You've seen the pictures of the guy. He looks like a gigantic 12-year-old from 1978 with that haircut. And
right.
It's creepy.
Really this creepy. Prank video is great. It's just the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
Well, fellas, I'm going to call it quits for the night.
Yeah, I think I will, too.
Yeah, it's probably a good place as any to end.
Yeah, we've been beating up the puppets long enough.
You went down a weird path in the last 10 minutes.
That's it. We're done. Shut it down.
Shut it down.
Shut it down.
Shut it. Shut it. Shut it. Shut it down.
Shut it down. Shut it down. Shut it down. Shut it down. Shut it down. Shut it down. Shut it down. Shut it down. Shut it down. Shut it down. Shut it down. Shut it down. Shut it down.